may be seated. I'd just like to take a short introductory this morning and to introduce Brother Ben Caleb Ehrenatway. We've gone back 23 years now, and Brother Ben, I met him in 2002 and really got to know him in 2006. And then he traveled with me across Uganda and to Congo and several other countries. And he really takes a good stand for the doctrine, and he believes it with all his heart. He was with me in Uganda when the God stopped the storm, and he's also with me in Congo when the three rainbows came. So he's been witness to the supernatural of God on quite a few occasions. So anyway, I'm not going to say too much more. I'll let him speak. But I love Brother Ben, and he's been a true brother to me. And through all of our ups and downs, you know, the Lord has secured our relationship. So anyway, it's been a good relationship. And I have very few brethren that I feel this close to around the world. So Brother Ben, with that introduction, I want you to take over and speak whatever the Lord puts on your heart. I know you already got written, so. But if he adds to it while you're preaching, that's fine too. All right, God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay.
I'm happy to be here, and I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I also bring you greetings from home, from Uganda. They sent me with the heavy greetings, and they are fine, they are doing well. I also bring you greetings, especially from my family, my wife. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm really grateful to be here with you, and I thank God he enabled me to come. Yeah, you see, last year I had an accident where a motorbike hit my car, and it was set in flames. But I want to thank you so, so much for the love you did extend to me, and my car was replaced. I just feel the world at long last, as God has provided friends in this world which seems to be friendless, but I can confidently say I have really found true friends in Ohio. At times I tell my brother, greet my family there in Ohio. It is true, since I came to know my brother many years back, he has been of great help, especially even on the doctrine teaching of the word. And I've never ceased learning from him. And I'm still learning. Even standing here, still I keep learning a lot of things. Praise the name of the Lord. It's been so helpful. But I want just to say thank you so much for stretching forth your hearts towards us, to love us and to assisting us. And I'm happy. I feel well received in this place. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So since I came, I was also very grateful for the way I was received. Even in my brother's family, I found Sister Ravon had prepared something, some good meal that was so refreshing after long travel. I thought I would be too tired to even do anything. But I tell you, after that meal, I was very strong. I slept well. I even felt I could tarry longer without even sleeping. Yeah, I just appreciate God so much for that. And all those, the brothers I've met, my brother, Brother Betts, or Brother Justin, and his family, you know, The time we've had together has been so good, and I took a flight in the small plane, and I was enjoying viewing around. I was just communicating back home that I was a co-pilot. And I was soaring the skies. It was so beautiful. And I want to appreciate him so much. And I really felt very much encouraged and uplifted in many ways. Praise the name of the Lord. So I just want us to go to the word, the little word God gives me. Maybe I know shared in love, it will just encourage us all. Because I know fellowship has got to rotate around God's love and the love that we have in our hearts. Amen. We can possibly stand up for the reading of the word. Let's turn to Judges, chapter 3, verse 18, 23. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries and that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. Into his belly, and the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dart came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we stand before you, and we are before you this morning. We want to appreciate you, Lord, for enabling us to gather together. And our desire, Lord, is to have you minister to us. Dear God, it's my prayer that you place man out of the way, that you may have your perfect way. And I pray that you silence other voices. And God, let your spirit take over this morning and you speak to us. May we not listen to the voice of man, but just listen to your voice. As your word says, my sheep hear my voice. And it's my prayer, great God, that we listen to your voice. Out of it, there is life, Lord, that we need. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Bless this fellowship as we get together to listening to your word, may they be edified by what you give unto us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. I trust I will be clear enough to have you understand the way maybe I pronounce the words, but all is well. I was thinking on these words when I was thinking on what to share with you, and then I looked at this book of Judges. I looked at this man called Ehud, and I looked at the condition they were living in. It wasn't a good condition. These were the people that were meant to be free, but now they are seen in bondage. And the reason why they were living the way they were living was because of their drifting from God's word. Because the word of God was meant to set them free. As the Bible says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And God, who had called them, placed them where he placed them. You know, he was able to keep them. But then he would only keep them as long as they heeded his word. It's just like when God created man. He placed him in the Garden of Eden, and there was nothing short. So man was having everything. Life was quite lovely, was good. God was ready to keep him as long as the word of God was light and the life of man. Amen. But when man drifted, then things went wrong. He went out of his protection, went out of his security. So that's what we see here. God had saved his people, brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage. He set them in the land of their fathers. They were to be free. God was to be with them and promised to be with them and to keep them as long as they heeded the word. Amen. God places them where he knows they have to be safe. And what would keep them secure is the word. Amen. So when you look at how they were living during this time of Ehud, they were again in captivity, being enslaved or captivated by the Moabites. You see, by the Moabites. And so they were living a life they were not called to live. And that's what happens. When we live a life we are not called to live, then we get enslaved. We get out of our protection. We lose our security. That's why when God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the word, then the only place Jesus left us and wanted us to stay was the word. And he said, abide in my word. Let my word abide in you. Then you know the truth will set you free. That's where we have to be. And I know, like the Bible says, God sent his word and healed them. That's exactly what God does, and that's what he has done even in our time. There's no other way God can restore man to himself. God can make man free except through his word. Amen. So the book of Judges comes after the death of Joshua. And Joshua was the type of the Holy Spirit, as we know, and the prophet has actually put it clear to us. So Joshua was the type of the Holy Spirit that held all the book of the law as it was brought by Moses. Amen. And when we talk of the Holy Spirit today does not teach us anything outside God's word. Holds on to the word. Gives us the word of God. And that's why the prophet would tell us that the Holy Spirit cannot actually feed on anything else. It will feed on the Holy Spirit, I mean on the Word of God. And so, as God's people, we know, of course, the Holy Spirit being the teacher, will teach us nothing but the Word. We will reveal to us nothing but the Word. Praise the name of the Lord. The truth to keep us going. And as God's children, that's what has to lead us. For the Bible shows us that if we are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, then are we the sons of God, children of God. We have no other way we are led, but the Holy Spirit leads us and leads us by the Word of God. Amen. And God's Word, knowing that it is life, it is life, it is Spirit, that's what it takes for us to live, and we have to abide by that. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So the book of the law, Joshua had to keep it, and that's what gave him success. The Word is what gives the church success. And we know that he got it from Moses. That was God's prophet, who was God's voice of the hour. Yeah, the Bible says God doesn't do anything, but he reveals it first through his servant, the prophet. Amen. And so we are so blessed because we have where to place ourselves in the hour like this, knowing that we have received the Word through the prophet of our day. You know, the Bible says, behold, I work a work in your day that you not believe though a man tells you. Amen. It is, you are always most blessed if your eyes can open to the what God is doing in your day. So we count ourselves blessed in our time to see to it that we have known what God has done in our time, and we have acknowledged our visitation in an hour like this. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And so, God's prophet, who was God's voice of the hour during that time, was Moses. And we see Joshua had to abide by that word, that message of their time. But then as Joshua died, the light of the truth began to dwindle or dwindling. And that's always what happens. And even in all these days when God would raise a messenger, he goes, then after some time, darkness begins to come in. We see all this even right in the beginning, in the Old Testament. Joshua died, the light of the truth began dwindling. Then the people, the elders that had sat under Joshua's ministry, also passed on. You know, like in my place, there are times when you meet the elders, and when you are seated together, they begin to lament and say, the children have spoiled or ruined our church. Why? They have no view of how it began. They have lost the knowledge of the foundation that the fathers built on. Because me, I look back even the 2 days of the Pentecostals, when I got saved. I was a part of the Pentecostals. But the Pentecostals of that time are not the Pentecostals of today. You meet the elders that lived at that time. They are also lamenting. I also look at the time I believed the message. Praise the name of the Lord. We never had much, even of the books, tapes, but we loved the Lord, loved one another, loved every word that we were assured of, it came from the prophet. Praise the name of the Lord. But now, there are even those that were born in the message, but they have lost respect for this word. Amen. We didn't know much. I count myself one of those blessed ones, because when the truth, I received the truth, God gave me people to keep me getting lifted up, especially when he sent to us our brother. There are words we could hear, we never understood. Yeah, the words, parousia, yeah, presence, you hear, the appearance, you know, all those. We never even bothered that. So, you know, we were still in the dark. We needed somebody to shed more light on that. And we thank God, you know, when more light comes, there are those that go with the light, but there are those that linger behind and still stay in darkness. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, but we have to keep on, of course, learning as we see, of course, time is also expiring. We have to keep on learning, and we are taught also to teach, like Paul could speak to Timothy, whatever you have seen, you have learned, teach others also. But there are those who may not continue forward. You know, as the journey goes on, many drop out, or many do not continue. But we thank God we have to press on and keep pressing on and running the race up to the end. Amen. So Joshua died. The light went off. The people, the elders, when they died, the Bible says there came up a people that did not know the Lord. So which meant darkness was setting. And we see that even in the church. When we look at the first age and we continue on, then we reach the time when there was darkness. Amen. So light comes and it goes. Amen. So the people that were in the days of Joshua, when they passed on, now none could testify of God's works. Things were different. People started worshiping the gods of the people of the world. Things went terrible with Israel, which was the church of God, when they realized that those gods gave them no help. Of course, that's what happens. The church drifts and the truth dies out. Then people begin to realize there is no help and in whatever they are doing. And so they begin to go back to the way of the world. Amen. So, but then we see they cried to the God of their fathers. Whenever they do that, God started raising them judges who represented the messengers to restore light to the church of Israel and get people back to God. Then here I was saying, of course, when the judges came, I see the first one being Othniel, but then I'm more interested in Ehud. Amen. I like this man. I like the way he behaved, he conducted himself with a zeal to get people back to the word or to the truth that they had diverted themselves from. Ehud was one of those, of course, serving Eglon until he realized he had the message which he trusted could set him free and those who could follow him. You know, when I look at this man, he was not happy, he was not comfortable with the life he found they were living in. And I believe God's children, the true seed of God, will never be satisfied outside God's word. When they know there is a falling away, there is a drifting from God's truth, you will never be satisfied. You will begin to seek a way that could turn you back to the truth, back to God. So This is what Ehud, of course, had to do. When he was saying, or he said, I have a message from the Lord. In fact, that's where I got the title. So the message from God is always a mystery. And let me tell you, when you find the truth, you don't have to look at others whether they have found what you have found. You don't have to care much about whether others believe what you believe. Amen. It is between you and your God, and you are convinced, persuaded, that what you have received is the true revelation. Amen. And you cherish it. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of God is likened to a treasure, of which when a man has found, he hides it. Yep. You see that? You hide it. You may not go telling everybody there is something. Amen. You have found it's a mystery. And then what do you do when you have found it? You know, the field in which it is, it may not be attractive. So that's why we go by faith, not by even sight. You go by what is revealed to you. You are ready to defend it. So when you find that treasure, what do? You cover it. There is a protection. When you find the truth, you protect it. You are ready to stand with it. And then the Bible says, then you go and sell what you have. And you come and purchase the field. And maybe when you are bargaining for that field, people don't know what you are following. They don't understand you. And we don't seek at times to be understood by everybody, appreciated by everybody, no. But you know what is burning in your heart. Yeah. Eh? And what you are protecting. Praise the name of the Lord. You don't compare it with anything else. Then after, you just come again by the field. And then after possessing the field, then you begin to use the treasure. Praise the name of the Lord. There are things certainly we have to forsake, to abandon, to leave when we have obtained or found the treasure. Yeah. Amen. Not always very easy. No. It's not easy. But then what you have seen, what you have followed, what you have received keeps you going, and you are so happy. That's why the Bible says, they that shall live a godly life will even suffer persecution. Amen. Because I remember when our brother came, the first time I moved around with him, he was still there with his team when men came and they were beginning to challenge. And they were more scared, especially when an elder like me, when I believed this, so I believed this truth, this message, this doctrine. They got so scared. Even when I came from Congo, they had also laid a trap, you know, as if it was fellowship. But they just sat, all they wanted was to diffuse the message out of me. I mean, the doctrine. I think by then I had got enough, believed enough, swallowed enough that I was able to stand until they ended up saying, Benon is militant. So, you know, they could call me anything. And now what they did was to fight, possibly to break my church. And I was not scared even about my church. I knew my duty was to teach them the word as I have got it. Those that will stand with it, we shall go together. Those that drop out, yes, the journey is always like that. Praise the name of the Lord. But thank God, I rescued and many of the believers in the church, and we kept going after seeing this great light. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Sorry, when I do this, I've been using my tablet, so at times I assume I'm using the same, But, you know, I've gone in an advanced way, so we shall keep going. Amen. So the message from God is always a mystery, as I said. The messenger with the message is also a mystery to the people of the world. Because if the people would understand the messenger, they would also understand the message. Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, both the message and the messenger tend to keep a mystery to the people. When Jesus came, he was a mystery to the world. The word he preached was a mystery to the world. Praise the name of the Lord. But there are people of that mystery that will open up and receive it. And after they have received it, they will cherish it. They will go with it. Amen. So, he can only be acknowledged, this messenger with his message, can only be acknowledged after God had even vindicated him also. Yeah. Amen? God has to vindicate him. His message must be able to produce the results. Yeah. You understand? So in other words, it may not be him as a man. It has to be God, through the word he has given him. Because God watches over his word and he performs his word. Amen. And that's why Jesus would say, if you don't believe me, believe the words that I'm speaking. I've spoken to you. And when you believe the word is life, the word is light. And by that, then you will acknowledge what God is doing in your day. You see? Amen. So, this is what we see. God has got to deal with his messenger first. He has to show himself to his messenger till his messenger is convinced beyond doubt that God is with him and that the message given to him is capable of accomplishing what it says. Yeah. Can you imagine? You have what you are not sure of. You believe what you are not sure of, whether you are safe with it or not safe with it. Let me tell you, the time I got saved, that was in the 70s, amen, and received the word. When I went, I was still a student, when I went to the dormitory, just a friend just comes with a cigarette and said, oh, please, light it for me. I was a smoker. Then I told him, I have got saved, just got saved under a tree where I was. He couldn't believe it. He didn't have to, but it's me that knew what I received while under that tree. And let me tell you, before even 3 days elapsed, tears were running down. And I said, Lord, why have you loved me so much as this? Even me, I could be saved. Something that got into my heart was enough to keep me going. And all of a sudden, you know, people started referring to me as a saved person. And it was even a surprise. The first time someone said, oh, praise God, I almost got a little scared. I mean, something leaped within. Oh, I said, yes, I've given my life to the Lord. And that word I received, that what I got into my heart has kept me up to almost nearly 50 years since. That's God's grace. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. So God has to deal with his messenger too. He has to show him or himself to his messenger until the messenger is convinced beyond doubt that God is with him and that the message given to him is capable of accomplishing what it says. I just imagine looking at our prophet. He had to be sure it's God who had called him. He had to be sure it's God sending him. He had to be sure it's God giving him the message. Even when he went to that cave where he had to find out whether what he's believing, what he's receiving is true or not. Amen? And then the angel found him in that cave. Amen? Gave him the assurance of what he was born for. He was given, and he was meant to take that gift to the world. Then he knew what he had. And he was very confident with that. And you know, from there, visiting or coming to his pastor and told him what had happened, what he saw, the pastor sort of ridiculed him. You mean you are capable of taking the word, going to the gift, the word to the world with your seventh grade? You know, that was nothing. Praise the name of the Lord. He needed the word, not just this kind of education you may try to talk about. He met the Lord. God gave him the word. God gave him the word. I mean, the message that he was going to bring to the world. And that message, nothing would stand in its way. It's going on, and it's still going on. And I thank God, when it swept, came my way, I'm moving on with it. It means quite a lot to me. Amen. Hallelujah. The message has to fulfill what it says. So think of how God, of course, came to Moses. Think of how God came to Gideon. Now, you know, when we are looking at that, we are looking at people, not until they met God and God gave them the message, God gave them the word. Not until they met God. You know, they remained static, nothing. They couldn't actually take any move to advance them, to go forward. Praise the name of the Lord. So Moses, and we think of Gideon. Of course, when we look at Moses, we know what happened. Without the message, he failed miserably. Without meeting God, he failed miserably. But when he met God, and God spoke to him and told him, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, and he saw the atmosphere God created around him. He saw the supernatural. Amen. And how that voice from that burning bush identified him. No doubt. And the message that was given to him, now he went with it. And it worked. I think of this man, Gideon. He had heard much about the God of the fathers, but he had never met that same God. Many times we've heard much even about the message. We've heard much about the word of God, but we have not met the word itself, ourselves. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah? And so, if you don't meet it personally, I mean, you will never feel the impact of it. Right. Hmm? And once you don't feel the impact of it, you'll stay the same. Your life will never change. You'll view things the same way the others do. But when you meet that God, the way you look at things will change. The way you walk will change. The way you live will change. Praise God. So that's Gideon. Think of how also God came to Joshua and what he told him, that was the sword which was going to do the work. In other words, what you receive from God enables you to do the work he has called you for. So the messenger then would be vindicated to lead the people. After he has met the Lord, he has received the instructions from the Lord, the word, then he's now confident. He doesn't waver. You know, any wind can blow. People can try to reject him, but he will never give up. He will stay in his position, giving out whatever God has given him. Praise the name of the Lord. So, I love what Hebrews talks about Moses. And this is Hebrews 11. Moses was born a special child. We can take our reading from there. Verse 23 to 27 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Praise the name of the Lord. So the messenger pulls out of the rest of the established organizations. Of course, when you meet the Lord, when you grow up, you begin to realize who you are. And now I'm talking about the messenger here will pull out of the rest of the established organizations because they possess you. Or they possessed you before you realized who you are. Amen. They captivated you. They held you captive. Those organizations. Amen. And already, of course, those had forgotten the works of God. And goes seeking the true fellowship where he can be with God. Now here, I want to put it clear. Amen. When the messenger, and I want to connect it also with Moses. You know, Moses was among the people that once saw the works of God through Joseph. They had received the word that had protected them and even made them more greater until other nations would come to receive the feeding life from them. But time comes when there rose up another king that knew not Moses, Joseph rather. And therefore, as long as they couldn't realize the man that God had sent to them, that had saved them, now they began fighting and fighting his God. You remember that Pharaoh said, who is that God, oh Lord? See, they never wanted even to hear about him. When Moses went to him and told the king that the God of the Hebrews has appeared to me. And he wants us to go and worship and serve our God. They said, who is that Lord? Huh? And of course, he rebuked him. You want to make people get out of the work they are doing? You see, there is a way he looked at things. He enjoyed keeping people slaves. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Do you know that at the time of Moses, there was a leader, a Pharaoh, that did not know Joseph. Therefore, they didn't know Joseph's God who had saved them. God had to pull his servant out, and that is Moses, and make himself revealed to him. He gave him a better spiritual weapon, the sword of the Spirit, that would subdue the Egyptians' power. Then this would call out the people to follow him. After God has made himself known to his servant, to his messenger now, he goes fearlessly. They like the way the prophet would put it, with his crooked stick. And he said, I'm going to invade Egypt now. One man's invasion. Amen. And he went, now without fear. He started moving on, and God's power rallied behind him and gave him success. Amen. So he gave his leader a better spiritual weapon, which is the word, the sword of the Spirit. And he went in that power. God watches over his word to perform it. And when God met Moses at the backside of the desert, he revealed himself to him as the God of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, I like the way the Bible puts this thing up. God takes Moses back to the days of the fathers. And if Moses had had the testimonies of his fathers, then he would know what that God could do. Praise God. And so now God is standing before him and is telling him, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this was to lead an exodus, calling a people out of bondage to their father's inheritance. Now, the word that this messenger that Moses was getting or had received was the word that would deliver him and his people. Then we come to Gideon. He had heard of such a God of his fathers that never helped, of course, that never helped him. That never helped his foreign people. They still kept under servitude of the enemy. When I'm looking at Gideon, you know, they had had a God of history whom they couldn't see or bring into the present time they are living in. And that never helped them. Amen. You know, it's good we can read at times the word. You can hear of the revivals of the past. We can hear of what God did in the past. Amen. But unless you pull him out of history, you bring him into the time you are living in, you believe him the same way, you'll never see him at work. Amen. So there we see Gideon, when he met the Lord. Of course, he was just there trying to preserve, some wheat he was slashing, and he was trying to protect that seed from the enemy. Amen. So there he was, you know, because whatever they would produce, the enemy would take. So there he was in that condition. But I like the spirit that was in him. But at least he wanted to protect some food. something to keep him. So there he was, and in that condition, when Gideon met the Lord, he pulled out of that foreign condition, destroyed the false altars, and constructed the altar to God, and worshipped him, which placed the sword of God to his hand. I know that word God here was, I think it was a typing sort of error, to his hand. And there he was able to go and at least discomfit his enemy. Amen. It's very different when the Lord comes your way. And when you know he is now with you. Glory to God. And then he was able to know that actually what he has received is a weapon to fight against the enemy. But he has to do something first. I like what he did was to go and destroy the altar of Baal. There is a lot to destroy. And then after that, he had to repair, to restore the altar of God, where he had to put his sacrifice. And through that, he was able to see that same God that the fathers talked about. And that God was a God of action, the mighty God of war that would fight to defend his own. So when we look at Judges chapter 7, we can at least read some few scriptures. Verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for the multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamt a dream, and lo, a cake of barley was tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell. You know, that dream was like a mystery too, a vision, and until it is interpreted, it will still hold the mystery. Praise the name of the Lord. So he just had that. Listen. And came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon and the son of Josh, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped the Lord and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. You see, he had the dream. He was sure, confident. It came from God. Amen. It applied to him. All the fear now vanished. Amen. And when he hears, this is nothing. It is the sword. Let's move on. His fellow answered and said, this is nothing save the sword of Gideon. So he knew now he's given the sword. And it's not a sword to do nothing. It's the sword to deliver Israel, to deliver God's people. Amen? Amen. So, he says, Mm-hmm. Let's go to 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel. Now, the way he goes to those people, they have been so much defeated, worn out. Whatever they produce is eaten by the enemy. But he says, and this is an end to that. And now he's encouraging them because of what he has received. There's a sword that God has given him, and that is the message that God gave him that he was taking now to the church, to the people. And so he says, arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And the Bible says that they were like grasshoppers all around. Now, the people, the enemy, being in such a great multitude, was no more a scare. And that's where a Christian will stand and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he divided 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, this is now Gideon, look on me and do likewise. Amen. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Following someone whom God has called, whom God has given the word, just like Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. And when Jesus Christ would want us, call us to follow us, you know what he said? What I see my fathers do is what I do. So if you are looking at me, you do what I am doing, you are exactly fulfilling what the Father is doing. You are doing his will. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's why we are so happy today. Whatever we do, whatever we are believing, whatever we are following, this is what has come from God. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, when I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say the word of the Lord and of Gideon. Because the Lord and Gideon spoke the same word. And that's the confidence we have. We believe what God has spoken. You know, some people may wonder. They say, hey, you are referring to what the message says, the prophet said, Brother Branham said. He never spoke anything of himself. Amen. Amen. He spoke of what the Lord spoke. And that's what we are doing, echoing. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's what gives us confidence. We are not following any wind of doctrine, anything. We are confident of what we have received. And it works. Praise the name of the Lord. Nothing will fail. You know, I'm someone who has gone through different junctions, if I could say. You know, beginning as an Anglican, and by the time I became a Pentecostal, I had an admission letter to join one of the best theological colleges we had in Mukono. But then I had already received, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in that Pentecostal kind of group. And I had tested something that was better than what I had before. And so I realized, no, I cannot imagine I'm holding the little kids and sprinkling waters
on the kid and that I'm baptizing them. That wouldn't be true. I would be acting against my conscience and against what I feel is the truth. So I turned it down. And when I turned it down, even my own mother would say, "You are getting confused." But thank God, later on my mother had to believe. I had to baptize her, and she rested when she was a believer. I could imagine she would have got lost. And I used to dream when I was a very young child that as if I was living in a world, there was a world below, a world up a bit, and then I was trying to get my mother from that world down to the world up. So later on, of course, when I saw my mother get saved, my mother believing and loving the word, it came to me. Oh, yeah. This is how God wanted to deliver my mother and bring her to salvation. Amen. So, here we see Gideon is saying, "You do what I do." And then we see now verse 23, companies blew the trumpet, break the pitchers, and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon." Amen. And as I said, it's all because Gideon and the Lord were speaking the same thing. Gideon never acted on his own. Amen. And this is the confidence that we have. We know the prophet God has sent to us in this hour. We are happy when we speak what he has spoken. It's a sword. It's the sword of the Lord. It's the sword that was placed in the hand of our prophet. It's the sword we are standing by, and that sword is our defense, our protection. The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. I just wish, you know, if you were there to watch. And you see, with that sword now, the people that were like grasshoppers flooding the place, they are running away. And as they are running, praise the name of the Lord, they are crying out. They are fleeing. And I just imagine our battle is spiritual. We know our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion. But the truth has come to us. The enemy has got to flee as we resist him, holding the sword, the spiritual weapon. So let's move on. This gave Israel great deliverance. And then, now I want you to be with me, because I'm going now into the center of my message, of this message. I have a message from the Lord. God's message has to be his word. That's what we all know. His word is a double-edged sword. It kills, it saves, it gives life. The word of God is quick and powerful. The word of God is a spirit and life. The word will destroy its enemy, but will secure its own. Now, looking at Ehud, in his day, he was God's messenger. He had a mystery that none knew of. No one knew. And don't expect everybody to know the mystery you have. But as long as you have it and you cherish it, it will work for you. And those that will hear you or believe you or follow you. The Lord said, if you can make people to believe you, telling the prophet, amen.
not to believe him as a man, but to believe what God has given him. Not even cancer would have a way of escape. Praise the name of the Lord. Our success is in treasuring, cherishing, using what God has revealed to us, has given to us. Amen. Mm-hmm. So looking at Ehud indeed as God's messenger, having that mystery, this mystery was to destroy the enemy of God's people, and give salvation to God's people. When God gives you the message, he will put you in the spirit of that message, which will enable you act it out. Can you imagine you have the message and you are not living the message? It won't do any good. You see, like the prophet would say, leave me the word, the gospel, the sermon. Not just speaking it out. Doesn't work like that. But when you are living it, you are displaying the very power of what you claim to believe. See that? Yes. It's not just speaking. Just professing, living what you profess or what you claim to believe. At times, people may not even bother about that, but when they see you are living that message, what you profess, that's the power being displayed. And now they cannot challenge that, because they see what you believe makes you what you are, transforms you, changes you, makes you different. You don't walk like they walk. You don't act like they act. Your behavior is completely different. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. You don't imitate any man. Let me tell you, Gideon had no one to imitate. Moses had no one to imitate. Branham had no one to imitate. Amen? Amen. What are they? Who are they imitating? The one they have met. And you see, where what they got, it was that they were pioneering that kind of move. No one they could look to. Praise the name of the Lord. So they looked to him that called them. They cherished that which they received. They had to go with that. Amen? So when I became a Pentecostal, actually, I was one of those young men, the first to believe the way I believed, and other young people looked at me in a strange way. Then it was worse. I wonder why I was always being the first. When it came to the message in the whole of the Southwestern, I was the first one again to receive it. And this time it was worse, because the move was saturating everywhere of me holding on to a cart. And you know what it meant. And it would come at a time when I would appear to be established. I am on among the Pentecostals. I was on the national committee, I know, just like that. But receiving this truth, oh my dear, it was so sweet. I loved it. Until whenever I had a time, even listening to the voice of the prophet alone, I could feel I was listening to the voice of God. And it kept me going. I was so happy. Very hard you begin starting from nothing. Very hard even to convince your wife. Very hard. You tell her, she seems to listen to others more than she does to you, which was very, very bad. Praise the name of the Lord. But I kept on until the Lord had to make the whirlwind at least come down, and I continued running the race. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And then getting established in the message too, there comes another wind blowing. When Brother Brian came, it was in a way another trouble starting in my way. You know, he knew how men would even gather in his meetings at times, not because they want to believe the message, what he's teaching, but to challenge. And of course, they come out, turn out, and the questions now come piercing towards us. It takes the grace for you to stand and know that you are, and the very close friends are the ones that come to you first, and you begin to count. You are losing this one, losing that one, losing that one. Then you end up friendless. Mm-hmm. But thank God, I would rather have one friend that is faithful, that is ready to stand with you, than hundreds of the fake friends that cannot help you. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible says in Timothy 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That spirit is very sweet. And looking at Ehud now, God had raised him in his day to judge his people, to bring the people back to the knowledge of their God, and then those people be freed from their enemies. Normally, God will always start with one man who he uses to kindle the fire to the rest. Ehud came up in the time when Moab had taken control over Israel and was ruling her with rigor. Israel became a servant to Moab. Ehud could not bear with this. You know, when you are a child of God, there are situations you will never bear with. Amen. And Ehud could not bear with that. So, and we see, of course, when Ehud could not bear with this, he had to make a sword secretly and kept it secretly inside his garment. He knew that it would one day save him and his people. You know, that part when I was studying through the word is what touched me most. Because in the condition he was in, he was always thinking, what can set me free? How can I be set free? How will my people be free? You know, like the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what did he do? He thought of a sword. You know, of course, the spiritual, the physical, the type, the spiritual. But I see as God was dealing with Israel in such a way, now he began to shape the sword. And he must have been very careful in how he was shaping the sword. Because it's life and death. He had to make it in a way it would suit where or fit where he was going to place it. He had to safeguard it. And in his dream was, this sword is going to save me, is going to save my people. Amen. And let me tell you, when God gives you the truth and you are keeping it, you know this truth is what, where my salvation lies. And those that will receive it, it will save them likewise. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I just look at brothers sacrificing, flying all over.
They didn't come because they wanted to travel. They came because they had something to help others get out of captivity, get out of bondage. Amen. You know, those days, our brother was very strong. He could stand 3 hours preaching like he did in Jinja. I said, this is the first white man I have watched standing all this time trying to travail through getting out the word. Praise the name of the Lord. Tirelessly. Amen. So what would take a man to do that? He has something. He knew what he had that would help others. And I thank God. At least I've been helped through that. Amen. So, his sword, he protected it. He cherished it. You know, he kept in that humble position with his people. He knew, none knew of what he had received. But he knew by the time it gets out and it is vindicated, it won't save him only, it will also save his own brethren, his own people. Amen. So he knew it would destroy the power that vexed them and turned them into servants, eating all their produces. Our enemy, of course, eats the truth. As Christians, we know how the truth of the word has been eaten. The word from the church. But the word is God's bread to us. And Satan wants always to mess it up, eat it up, until we are left actually destitute, completely empty. Amen. Mm-hmm. So Ehud came with other men to Eglon's palace, and he had come. Of course, they were serving him. Now he comes with food to them. I mean, to him. But his intention was, he knew this is the day of deliverance. This is the day when the message should go forth. Amen. So, this is it. Other men, of course, thought that things would remain the way they have been. You know, it's not easy at times to change. You think things have to remain the way they have been. But this time, it was different. For Ehud, it was now life and death. You can't overcome when you stand with men that know not the mystery. Stand alone with God if the mystery is revealed to you. Amen? Get your eyes off men once the truth, the light has come. You know, like the Bible says, darkness will cover the earth, the gross darkness will cover the earth. But then what does it say? Arise and shine, your light has come. So you don't stay in darkness. You have to rise when your light has comes. So you don't need that to stay in the company of non-believers. That will lead you to nowhere. So Ehud left those other men. You know, after they had tried to serve Ehud to take whatever they brought. Now, you know, the rest left. But this man had to return because he knew what he had. Left those other men and returned to Eglon in his palace and said, I have a message from God. Amen. So your message has to be addressed to the right people. The rest left, and the king Eglon, you know, remained there because he was the one heading everything, and he was the one to be dealt with the enemy. Now, at times you may look at others as innocent. Amen. But look at Satan, the devil, that is trying to head all these things. Once you have managed him, the rest will be set free. So, the Bible says he was fat. He had eaten the food of God's children, like religions have done today, and are so fat, are so huge. Never despise yourself, because maybe you may look few or small, you are greater in the sight of the Lord. So, looking at Judges 3 here, 18:22, and when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand to thee, O king. Who also said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. Then now Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a samapara, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it out into his belly.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. And like that, he got it out. That was the time and the right time for that message, the sword, to operate, to work. And I don't think he was wasting time at that time. It was a time he was, actually the time he was redeeming the time. Because now, when you unveil the mystery, then you have to be serious with it.
Yep.
You don't have to waste time. You have to use it properly. And I want to encourage you, friend, now that the truth has been revealed to us, it's not time to play with it.
Right.
It is time to hold it with a tighter grip.
Yep.
And it's time to use it properly. You know, the prophet says, never misinterpret the word. Never dislocate the word. Never misplace the word. It is time to know where you are focusing and how to use it and how to live it. Because you misuse it, it will be useless to you. Amen?
Amen.
Many may profess to have this message, but still you find it is bringing reproach around them because of their failure to stand with it very properly. Their failure to use it. Praise the name of the Lord. Because people want to see what you believe being lived in you properly. If you don't, then it becomes a reproach. But when you are standing with it, living with it, its life is being seen by the world, then they will see your God in action. And you will have a life of victory. Praise the name of the Lord. So, time just to play a game of even keeping that sword was over now. And remember this time, he goes back alone because he knew he was the only one who knew what he had. And I'm sure he trusted it so much. I'm sure he sharpened it so much. You know, like the Bible says, started to be approved of God. Praise the name of the Lord. You are confident of what you are believing, confident of what you have received, confident that it is able, like the Bible says, I know whom I have believed and I'm persuaded. I know what I have received and I'm persuaded. I know what I am following
Praise the name of the Lord. And there you are confident. You are not ashamed. Glory to God. So we see as he got it with his left hand, he knew where it would work most. And you know, at times it makes me amused. Why did he push it into the bear? I'm sure he thought, first, this berry has eaten all that we have always produced. This time, it is not going to eat it anymore. Amen. I have to deal with it. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says here, and the haft, you know, when he's pushing, driving it, the haft also, including the handle itself, I think he must have used all his energy. He never calculated actually what energy was going to use because he knew, I miss, I perish. I have to use all my strength, all my energy. So when he got it, pulled it out and slashed it into this berry of Eglon, even his hand followed it. The whole blade sunk into the berry, including his hand. And he thought he would put it back. You can't. Let me tell you, push out the truth. Amen. Don't even withdraw it. Let it go. Don't compromise. Don't sympathize. Give it out. Let it do its perfect work. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. What we have, let's hold on to it. Leave it. Leave it out. Give. Let its life show forth. Don't call it back. Let it do its perfect work. You know, the Bible says, God's word, the word which has gone out of the mouth of the Lord, can never return to him. Amen. Except it does, it fulfills the purpose for which he has sent it. Yep. He doesn't call it back. It has to do what he sends it out for. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So, the haft went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly. And the dart came out. That had to expose whatever was in that belly.
Yep.
And that's the purpose of the sword. It goes to the denominations, it will expose every dart.
Yeah.
It goes to people, religions, it will expose everything. It comes to you, it will expose what is in you. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So the more he fidgeted to pull it out, the more he could see what it was bringing out. And for him now to be safe, let the sword alone. Leave it in the berry. After all, it was shaped for that. Let it do whatever it has been sent to do.
Amen.
Glory to God. But it was very successful. The message of the Lord will be successful wherever God sends it.
Amen.
And once you have given it out, don't regret. Stand your own ground. Hallelujah. It has done what it has done. It gives you victory. It saves you. But listen now what follows. Then Ehud, that is now 23. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. I can imagine now saying today, I'm going to hold you captive. He locked him in. And then he ran away. He went away. When he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the palace were locked, they said, surely he covers his feet in his summer chamber. Ehud walked away, free, leaving Eglon dead in and imprisoned in his palace. I like that. Can you imagine? Now the captive, when you look at actually the one who had captivated them, is now left a captive. 27. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew the trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. Now, the trumpet this time, it was not with uncertain sound. It was a different sounding of the trumpet. It sounded victory, and people realized it. Maybe those people could have been running away, hiding, going, realizing how captive they are. But then they hear the sound of this trumpet. It sounds victory. Amen. It gives them a new message, a message of hope. There is a change now. Amen. So the children of Israel went down now with him from the mount, and he before them. Now he's leading them. It takes someone with the truth, someone who has tasted victory. Amen. And that's the one you have to follow. Not a defeated one. One who has known how to use the sword and has prevailed, the word, the truth, and that's the one you want to follow. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's the one now, after the trumpet had been blown, they came out to follow. We have had messengers all throughout the church ages, but you see, the true messenger was that who knew how to use the sword of that time, who had the truth, and then had the truth administered to the people, and then called out the people to follow him. Amen. And he said to them, follow after me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands. And they went down after him. Praise the name of the Lord. And took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. You can imagine the very people now who were cowards. When they got the right leaders, they were now brave enough, because now they gained confidence in the one, through the one they were following, after having seen the success, the victory he has had in using the sword. Oh, standing with the truth. We have to follow someone we know is standing with the truth and knows how to rightly divide that word of truth. Praise the name of the Lord. The truth which sets people free. And there you are confident. And when you rally behind such, you begin also to see the victory. Because I want to say that these people now that were cowards,
They didn't have a way out when they got a true leader that had conquered, that had prevailed, that had used the sword. Now they all came up with boldness and they ran, and none of the Moabites could escape. And that's why we have to stand behind our true leaders. Praise the name of the Lord. And we have to stay with the truth. Amen. And we begin to see victory. You can imagine, during the time of David, everyone was so scared of Goliath. Why is it that David was not scared? He knew what he had received from God. And he had faith in his God. Amen. But when he went to attack Goliath, everyone was scared. His brothers were despising him. They thought it was for pride he was doing that.
Yep.
None believed him. Let me tell you, they can misunderstand you. But as long as you know what you are standing for or with, nothing should intimidate you.
Amen.
Press on. Glory. And that's what David did. He never used the tactics they used. He never used the armors they used. No. Because he still looked at the God who had saved him. He had a testimony. He still stood with the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run to it and is safe. He knew the power it contained. Amen. And so at that time, he just moved on, being despised, ridiculed by even the enemy, but that never scared him. He moved on. And with one stone, he smote the Goliath, the enemy, down. And I'm sure the fall must have been great. The dust could have risen up. And maybe others were watching and said, our cowboy or small boy is finished. But let me tell you, wait. Give it time. It will all clear. And you will realize the one who is standing is the one who trusted in his God. Huh? Yes, just wait a little. Sometimes we can't discern the situations and conditions. Give it time, and you will see who overcomes. The one who came with armors and swords and things, no. The one who went in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And by the time the atmosphere cleared, David was holding the head of Goliath up. And the Bible says the Philistines, seeing how their champion had collapsed, they started running. And now at that time, every coward among the children of Israel became very brave. Huh? Now everyone was chasing. You know, I remember one time there was a lion which came into our place, and I had gone to wash my uniform. So when I was coming from there, I also saw the lion crossing the valley, reaching home. You know, I got a panga. This is, what is it called? It's a big knife. How do you call it? Machete. Something like that. So from the kitchen, it wasn't even sharp, but I wanted to join the hunting group now. Men were there with the spears. I thought, I would be happy to be among the team. But then when I had reached the valley, then they said, there is the lion, there is the lion. I tried to run. Whichever direction I looked, it was as if I was going to meet a lion. I had nowhere to run to. Then the men who were also running, I found, you know, I was younger, I could have outrun them. But I was at their tail, just running. You know, what saved me was the lion took a different direction. Otherwise, I would have been finished. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, it couldn't work. But now what I'm saying is, at that time, you know, if the lion was hit, maybe I would have gone saying, ah, we have killed the lion. But this time, I was very careful. So, what I'm saying is that everyone now, even the weakest person, started chasing. Because now you get the weaker one, you also smite. Because the leader had already hit the target, hit the scaring giant. And now everyone was happy to press on, and they all claimed victory. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, so we have to follow someone who has the mystery revealed. Amen. Amen. And so that was now David. He knew his God. And now we see Ehud knew what he had. And after conquering the king, the champion, then now the rest we breathed in with great relief. And now there was victory for Israel. Praise the name of the Lord. So finally, I can say this is what Jesus did for his church. He was the word, he said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he rendered captivity captive also. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Of course, in Luke 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. He has anointed me to bring good news, the word. And what is that word? The very sword of the Spirit. To set the captives free. And with the work he has done, then we can enjoy moving in that victory. Now, when you look at the seventh seal, 63, Brother Branham said, in Sabine Canyon, sitting up there that morning, I had my hands up, and the wind had blown my old black hat down. When I was standing there with my hands up, praying. And it struck my hand. And I looked, and it was a sword. And it had pearl handles, really pretty. And had a guard over it with gold. Amen. And the blade looked like something like a chrome, like silver, only it was real shiny. And it was so feather edged, sharp. Amen. You know, God has to give you that which is sharp. Now, no wonder the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So he says, oh my, I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing? Just fit my hand. God gives you what fits you. I thought, that's awful pretty. But I said, hey, I'm always afraid of them things. I was always afraid of a sword. A sword. I thought, what will I do with that? And just then a voice shook down through there that rocked the rocks. Said, it is the sword of the king. And then I come out of it.
the sword of the king. Now, if I said a sword of a king, but you see, what we have to know is the sword of the king. In fact, somewhere still he would place, you know, the third, actually connected it with the third pool ministry. Praise the name of the Lord. And what is it? This is not just for the world, for denomination. It is for the believer. It is for the bride. Praise the name of the Lord. And this is what brings the bride victory. He says it's not won't be for public if you connect it with the tent vision. It won't. The Pentecostals cannot even bear with it. Because he talks of the less, said, you know, it cannot even fit. Amen. And all this, the prophet came for. The victory that was to be achieved was not just for everybody, it was for the bride. Calling the bride. And we know the trumpet had to be sounded when the message, the seventh angel begins to sound his trumpet. The mystery is finished. And that is the mystery that delivers you as God's bride. That pulls you out of these messed up denominations and confusions. And then now you know what you are following. You know what you are pursuing. Praise the name of the Lord. So when I was thinking, I have the message. The message would be useless if it can't set you free. If it can't redeem you. If it can't sound to you the message that you have to follow, that reveals the truth to you. And that's what is keeping us in a time like this. Praise the name of the Lord. And it has to make us and keep us happy to know that we are not just following fables. We are following the truth. It has been tested. It has been proved. And behind it, we are successful. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are glad to have had the message in our time. By somebody who comes knowing and having this assurance, I have a message from the Lord. And we have seen it vindicated. We are happy to rally behind it. And as we do, we are set free. May God bless you. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for whatever you have enabled us to share together and share with these precious people. Lord, of my words could be having lots of limitations, but your spirit can present the thought and make it clearer to these precious people and us, oh Lord, knowing that we are following the mighty conqueror, we are following that which has overcome and prevailed. And it's my prayer, blessed Lord, that even it gives us also the boldness to run a race, to come up as a mighty army that has to overcome even all the wiles of the enemy. Grant it, loving Father, and continue watering your precious word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. God bless you.